Here we go.
What were you saying? Were you saying no? Oh.
We are rolling. This is Howie Mandel Does Stuff. I'm Howie Mandel.
I am Jacqueline Schultz, his daughter.
And Tyler Henry is in the house.
Not to be confused with...
Tyler Perry, Hollywood Medea in the house.
That's what you were. That's what you call yourself. Right?
You know, I got announced as Tyler Perry, and I just rolled with it. So
really, when? Hollywood when? Medea.
Oh, all the time. I go to do live shows in front of thousands of people. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Perry. Yeah. It's very humbling. It keeps me, you know.
And do when people come up to you in the street, do they accidentally say that?
Yeah. Oh, all the time. I'm like, well, we don't really resemble each other.
But who do you get? We can talk. You get what? Montel.
Not anymore.
Montel.
Yeah.
I did.
People call you Montel.
Why are you laughing at that? That they think I'm Montel when they think you're Tyler.
I could see the...
I think it's a bald thing.
It's a bald thing.
And it was your... Didn't you both have the mustache at one time?
No one we didn't you. Share one. We. Yeah. I had mine. He had his. Yeah. Tyler and I have met before. Tyler, you did a very accurate reading on your e-show. Was it the e-show that
That's
we did?
That's right. Hollywood Medium.
Yeah. And very moving show. I remember doing a, I was wearing my dad's glasses, but I didn't tell you that, and you were picking up my father. The thing about here on Howie Mandel Does Stuff, we are believers. There are a lot of skeptics.
Yeah.
And the skepticism is sometimes there's a lot of fervor. A lot of hate, a lot of sometimes the church.
Totally.
You get that a lot?
Well, I liken to what I do as really being ideological. It's kind of like, you know, in dinner subjects, you don't talk about religion and politics.
Right.
In my case, with the nature of what I do for a living, it kind of falls into the spirituality category. It's ideological. People by default have strong feelings.
Are you religious?
I'm spiritual. I really see the value of religion, and I think of it as kind of a cultural language that people can have with a higher power.
When you were brought up as a child, did you go to church?
I did. I was Presbyterian and actually went to church for fun. I would go to different denominations while my parents would stay at home. I just found religion fascinating. All just ways to try to understand kind of a greater source.
How old were you when you first discovered your power?
Ability.
Yeah. Power.
It's like
you're
a
right.
Marvel.
What I do is a power. Yeah. What you do is an ability.
That's right. Well, I would say, you know, for me, it actually started when I was 10 years old. I had a premonition of my grandmother's death. And at the time, you know, I didn't recognize that as an ability. It was just something that was kind of actively happening. But these moments of knowingness would happen at school and around teachers. And I didn't understand where they were coming from. I would just say them. And kids would respond. And then eventually teachers started responding. And
in positive ways or negative?
Well, both. There was one instance I was with a kid and we were walking the PE track and I said, did you and your grandpa have peanut butter sandwiches? And he said, yes. And I said, did grandpa put a pickle on one of those sandwiches? And he just got real quiet and about pooped his pants because indeed he had a very specific memory of sharing a peanut butter and pickle sandwich.
And it, with his grandpa. I shouldn't go that dark, but it was a pickle, right?
It was a pickle. It was a sliced pickle. Okay. And it ended up landing. And it's kind of those things, as we even saw in our reading, that are kind of only known between the person that passed and the person receiving the reading that substantiates them.
But you didn't know what you were doing, right?
Like, I still don't.
But did that make it hard for you in school? Did that make you kind of a pariah or were people gravitating towards you?
Totally. I mean, it was kind of a mixed bag, and you had like parents who would be interested in readings, and then the kids would be kind of frightened, and vice versa. Yeah.
And were people told to stay away from you because?
Well, there was so much. I mean, being in a small town, there was a lot of religious fervor, and so you know, Central California is a little bit more conservative. And my parents had a small business in our little town, and so it definitely was one of those things where I didn't want to rock the boat. But there was an instance in middle school, a kid came in, and he was going to beat me up with a number of his friends, and my hands were still wet, and I turned around, and the door closed.
Why were your hands wet?
I was washing my hands.
Oh, okay. You're my favorite guest ever.
I wasn't missing the bowl. No, but I turned around, and these words just left my mouth. They said, your aunt knows that you were crying with your dad last night, and you need to leave me alone. And I just said it point blank to this bully, and his friends looked at him, and they looked at them, and they ran out of the bathroom because he was crying in his dad's arms the night before about the passing of his aunt. So that moment, I didn't understand how it happened. It just did, and it actually protected me.
Does it ever scare you?
It can be startling. There's times where information will come through that is a little overwhelming. I have to kind of have tact and diplomacy in how I articulate things. I think of my reading with Alan Thicke as being really demonstrative of that. You know, he came in as a total skeptic. I kept getting a feeling around his heart, and he kept kind of laughing it off. I think we looked at the footage. It was like 2 minutes of me just insistently saying, you need to get your heart checked. And I'd even told him, look, even if you don't believe in this, you need to do this for me. And, you know, that ultimately 3 months later led to him having a heart incident that took his life.
So, and he died within months.
Yeah. And it was just one of those things where as a medium, I feel responsible for the message, but it's kind of like a mailman. You know, I write the letters. I don't create the message in and of itself, I guess.
Go ahead.
I'm always interested. Whenever we talk to different mediums, they describe the way they see stuff or get messages very differently than each other. Like, it's not the same across the board. Yeah. So what does it look like for you?
Sure.
Like, is it actually a person that you see or just pictures or?
Mm-hmm. It's really kind of multifaceted. I don't see dead people walking around. You know, if anything, I've just kind
they're
of
dead.
Learned.
They're dead.
They're passed away. They're, yeah. But if anything, it's really more of just kind of having an active daydream and learning how to kind of just get lost in one's mind and just kind of pick up the subtleties of what pops in. Very often it'll come through as physical sensations that correspond with how somebody passed. Sometimes it'll feel like memories that aren't my own, but they're still very much in there. And so learning how to kind of navigate that and identify it and then articulate it is half the battle as a medium.
Is it constant? Is there always something? No.
Thankfully not. I've kind of learned it's akin to like a volume dial, so you can kind of like turn it down or turn it up depending on certain modalities. So I have kind of a modality of scribbling that allows me to kind of turn on. And so when I scribble, that's, you know, when I start letting information come through. When I'm not scribbling, that's kind of my cue to say, okay, right, I need to be Tyler the human being, not Tyler the medium.
Or Tyler Perry.
That's right, or Tyler Perry, exactly.
I find it fascinating right now, and we'll have a link to where people can get tickets in the in our on this podcast. Yeah. And so people can click. But you're doing live tours now.
I am.
I saw that you're playing like the Westgate in Vegas in
that's
April.
Right. Yes.
And you play these, those, I mean, what's that, 1,500, 2,000 people?
Yes.
In a room. What do you do on tour? What is a tour?
It is a group event. Anywhere from 2,000 to 5,000 people can be there. And I really just have to go into the audience. I focus on whatever's coming through. And I have to, in a very short period of time, be able to identify very specific messages, have them make sense. It's a ton of pressure, but there's something so beautiful about watching it because it is unedited. It's live. It's in the process. And there's something about watching that happen that even if you don't receive a reading, I think there's secondary healing that can be kind of acquired from watching other people have really cathartic emotional experiences.
And just knowing that there's more.
Exactly.
You know, and that's not it. The Westgate Hotel was the Hilton. It's where Elvis was. I was just, did you not know that?
I didn't know that. I should have known that I'm psychic.
Yeah. No, that's there's a difference between psychic and history.
Yeah.
But the I just played there.
Yes.
I didn't do any readings, but I did stand-up comedy. And what was fascinating, and I wonder if you get the vibe when you're in the room, you should ask them to show you this.
Yes.
So right before, and we'll put up pictures of this after, but right before you go on stage, they kept... Are you an Elvis fan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I'm not asking you to dance.
Just say, "Achy Breaky Heart." That's a little bit different. Sorry, Miley Cyrus.
I love that he thinks "Achy Breaky," Billy Ray, and Elvis Presley.
You know, one can aspire.
Are we not in focus? You're what?
Switching to manual focus.
Okay. All right. This is my son is wandering around.
Very smooth.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. Oh, it's focusing. We're going in and out. But that would be great. We have Tyler Henry here. We can make it seem like, ooh. I see clearly. I should put smoke. You want smoke?
It always adds to the, yes.
Really?
About the crystal. Oh, they actually have smoke. Are you kidding me?
Well, we want to.
I'm going to start levitating. You better watch out.
Okay. And it just happened.
It just happened because of you.
Yes.
You make it happen. Wherever you go, there's smoke that follows.
Sorry, I had Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So what I was saying was in that hotel.
Yes.
That's where he played. That was his residency.
Wow.
And they kept the floor. Obviously it's been redone in the years and years since, but the stage floor where he stood right before he walked out to over 800 shows, they keep that spot and his footprints where he was.
Wow.
So I don't know if geography or anything gives you a better vibe or a stronger vibe, but then also you should ask, I don't know that it'll be interesting to you because you think it's Miley's father, but right under the stage, they took me to, I have a video of this, they took me to, he had like a private bar area where him and the Colonel would receive guests after the show, and they haven't touched anything. Wow. It's exactly, there's a picture of him on the wall with the Colonel and the guy, did you see the movie, Elvis?
Right, with I love Austin Butler, exactly.
Okay, so the Austin Butler movie, you remember the Colonel kept signing contracts and right. holding him basically hostage? It's a picture of that guy, us and Elvis and the Colonel in that room signing that. So you should just go there. Wow. It's just very historical. If your mom is in town with you, oh, yes. she'll love that.
Fascinating.
You know, and then also in your dressing room, and there's a note of this, they have the bar that he built and the actual mirror that he used to get dressed in front of.
Wow. That's so, like a time capsule in and of itself.
When you go to places that are historical, are you picking up the, does that open a gateway even more to
or
whatever?
Or do you want to? Do you try to pick up on stuff that you're interested in?
You know, I really try to focus on the people, you know, that yeah. are attending versus the place. But I had a really interesting situation where I performed, and I want to say this was in Missouri, of all places. And weirdly, there had been a death about 100 years prior to the night that I was performing. And it was an explosion in the theater that had killed a janitor 100 years prior to the night of me performing.
Right.
And that was such an odd moment because I could definitely feel like an odd energy, but it was just interesting that, you know, of all times for, you know, it wasn't like the Beach Boys weren't performing that night. It was a medium on the 100-year anniversary. So,
did you pick up the explosion?
There had actually still been a part of the theater that was still damaged from when the bomb had gone off on 100 years to the night. So I think there's some element of coincidence that works through this. And just the fact that that happened, I think, could have been.
We've talked about this before. We've had John Edward on before, but she... I'm pointing to her, my daughter. Yes. Some people listen and don't watch. But she has, I believe, the capacity to do what you're doing, but shuts that door so tight and sure. doesn't want that, and it scares her. But we've had incidents where we stayed in a hotel. I won't mention the hotel, but it was in Vegas.
Yeah.
And she saw things. And then we found out that there was a suicide in that room of the kind of person that she saw.
But that's why I was asking the question that I had asked before. It doesn't seem like what I experience is the same thing I've heard from mediums who tap in to get messages or anything like that. Like yeah. mine is a very, when it's happened to me in the past, very scary experience where I actually do see.
Yeah.
people or things moving or whatever it may be. And it seems very different than what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of wonder if there's a different thing that's kind of being tapped into there. Like when I, you know, do readings, it's very much just trying to kind of connect people from long ago, bringing mm-hmm. forward, you know, a whole menagerie of information. Whereas what you experience sounds almost more like a ghost.
Yeah, and there is a difference between the two, right?
There is, yeah. And there's people who will have, you know, those visitations where someone will appear at their bedside, and that's very different than what I do when I do a reading, you know. And so I think that there can definitely be spectrums of visitations.
Why is that different in the fact that you are... Because I've seen you, and I've done a reading, where you are communicating with somebody from the other side. Is yeah. that, so that, isn't that the same thing? Where you're seeing, are you not seeing the, or the essence of whoever that was?
I generally will do a whole reading and often never even know what a person looked like that I'm communicating with. I basically just kind of get these subtle impressions and messages. What I think is that sometimes certain circumstances of certain passings, and they can even be of natural causes, can cause people to sometimes present differently on the other side. So if somebody... you know, still kind of holding on to some of their very human emotions and feelings, they might make a little bit more of a scarier visitation because perhaps they're looking for help or looking for attention. Versus when I do a reading, it's kind of more like generally everyone seems to be pretty good.
Do you ever get scared?
I get scared of living people more than the departed. I think people's capability to not show empathy is disappointing. So
it's a welcome to world.
Yeah, right. Other side is much kinder, and I think they seem to really look back at their lives. They reflect at what really mattered and what didn't.
We'll also have a information where they can maybe download this or whatever. You have an app. What is your app?
You know, it isn't my app. Mark Cuban actually made it, but I partnered with him, and it's on Fireside, and it's actually called The Collective, and it's an opportunity to be able to basically do a live show, but virtually, so people can connect all over the world and the country, and we meet every single week and month and do group readings. And there's just something about seeing that process. It's one thing to connect with celebrities that are public figures, but to connect to everyday folks, you know, people who don't have publicists and or horse in the race, there's just something so cathartic, because you find that in these stories, so many other people can relate, even if they're never picked.
So what happens with this app? You have this app, or I can download the app?
Anybody can download the app. It's Fireside, and on the Fireside app, there's The Collective, and we basically just meet and do group readings, and it's really...
How often do you do that?
Every single month, and we actually do weekly giveaways as well.
And so, do I pay for that?
That's like, I think, $12.
Are you getting hot?
I'm getting warm.
It's not that hot.
I think it's the lighting.
Oh, I have stuff coming through. Oh, I'm going to take it off with Howie Mandel.
Okay. You want to get him a tissue or something.
Oh,
he's starting
it.
To sweat. Is that because something
starts coming through? You better watch out. You start reading everybody.
Is that what's happening?
I'll start floating.
It's not that hot. I'm wearing a jacket. I don't understand.
I'm feeling it.
Do you have a trainer?
The lights are not on you.
Dead trainer? Yes, I have a light on me. A dead trainer coming through from the other side? Give me six more. Does somebody have a tissue to give him?
We gotta do push-ups. We're doing push-ups. No, I actually used to have to staple puppy pads into my shirts when I would film Hollywood Medium when I met with you. Puppy pads. You know the pee pads?
Pee-pee pads, yeah.
Little pee-pee pads. They would literally sew them into my clothing, because when I do readings, I just get drenched.
Why?
I have no clue. Your guess is.
Wait, the pads that puppies pee on?
They literally had to sew them into my clothing.
Go ahead. Yeah. Look at this. This is management. Prior.
Management.
Prior to puppies peeing on them,
I wish my manager would bring me fabrics and things to wipe myself. There you go. I want
Sayonara, sayonara.
Just want you to. Yeah. So
Can you tell? There's a lot of people that claim to do what you do.
Yeah.
Can you tell when people are... not doing what you do and are fake? Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of people mean well.
Really? You don't think a lot of people take advantage of people?
I think that there are those who do, but I think you would be surprised how many people mean well and have just kind of convinced themselves.
Well, I think there's a lot of charlatans and a lot of people that take advantage. I can't remember who this is not mine, I will say this.
Yeah.
There was a comic that used to make fun of the art of being a medium. And he used to go, like, he'd be in a crowd and he'd go, okay, I'm getting, is there a Tom?
J name.
Right. But he would do that. He'd go, yeah. I'm getting a T, a T. Is there a Tom here? Is there a Tom here? I'm getting a T. I'm getting a Tom. T.
Yes.
T. Tomato. Has anybody ever eaten a tomato?
A vegetable.
Is there somebody here that has seen a tomato?
Or a Tom.
One of the two.
For sure. I think, you know, when it comes to that, you can tell that someone's credible if they put in emphasis on validation. Someone has to be able to bring up information that's only known between you and the person that passed. In this day and age, a name is not all that impressive to get. Maybe in the 1800s, if someone said, oh, it's, you know, they're a Reginald, it would be a little bit more impressive. But nowadays, Google exists, right? So if someone gives you your grandmother's name, to me, that's a very low bar. Someone should be able to tell you your grandmother's last words, family dynamics that have gone on in the family since grandma died, recent conversations. Those things substantiate a connection. And I think if anyone's going to see a medium, it's important to not give information, to not volunteer information, and to know and remember that you know your loved one more than any medium sitting in front of you. So what is reflected and the messages and the nuance should feel and will register as meaningful.
Like you spoke about with Alan Thicke, do you find that when you're out in public, and I have other friends that are also mediums, and anytime we've had them on here, and feel free to comment and argue and whatever, I like that kind of conversation.
Yeah.
Do you find that the power from the other side will force you onto, like I obviously with the bully, that was a great moment, and whoever was...
You had that happen with your friend Goldie, right? When you had someone on.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had on. Do you know who George Anderson is?
Oh, yes.
I love that guy. And he's really, that was the first time. I was a huge skeptic. And he's actually done the podcast. But that was my first encounter with him was so.
Yeah.
There was no way that. Yeah. By the time I met you, I'm a believer.
Right.
So, but. When you're a skeptic, then you are, as a skeptic, receiving something that at that time there was no Google or anything, and you're receiving things that happened that day where you were not You go, how else?
Right.
You can use the word coincidence, but there can be only so much is coincidence, and then
yeah.
We have to be open-minded.
I heard a famous quote that said, there's two types of people, those who believe in meaningful coincidence and those who don't.
What is that?
There's some people who would take your experience and say, oh, he just coincidentally brought up some stuff. There were some good guesses. And then there's people who would say, oh, that time, that place aligned for you to hear that information, and it was applicable, and it was validatable, and it made sense. So you have some people who are completely different trains of thought. There's people who will look at your experience and completely say, oh, it was just lucky guesses and coincidence. And then you have those who see and can recognize the meaning of synchronicity, of timing, and of the fact that you heard those messages at a time that made sense to you. It was meaningful. It convinced you of something.
I was just talking to your manager. Your manager's here with you, and I didn't realize he was your producer, yes. Even when you were doing the E! Show and the Hollywood Medium Show. And what's interesting is he said he saw you as a young kid in bookstores doing readings for 30. How did you get into starting to do, like, who hires a child? Like, how did that even get known in the...
You'd be surprised. I had, as a 16-year-old, clients in my 70s, people who were professionals, people who'd gone to college, academics who were seeing me. And as weird as it is, I think if you're legitimate, you shouldn't have to advertise. And so I didn't. I had people coming to me at 16 years old. I wouldn't go to a 16-year-old for much of anything, let alone psychic advice. But the proof was in the pudding. Word of mouth spread. I ended up reading the dean of my college, of all people. And I actually graduated high school at 16 to try to become a hospice nurse. I thought that you could kind of kill two birds with one stone. You know, you
don't
could
use
be
that
there
word.
For a bad. It's a pun. It's a pun. Howie.
I know, but you don't want to hear a hospice nurse who's trying to kill two birds with one stone.
Not
those two things.
People. I was trying to knock out that goal of just trying to be able to do.
Did
what
you
I
work
do.
In a hospice?
I didn't, but I ended up going to physiology, and in my class, I ended up being the youngest person in my local community college there, and. Before I knew it, the dean of the college actually ran into him. I'd read him, and he encouraged me to do for other people what I'd done for him. So I was ultimately able to kind of achieve what I wanted to do in hospice through this work.
Did Alan Thicke's family ever reach out to you after? What's going on? You're really sweating.
I know. I'm like, oh, this is mascara. I need to get waterproof mascara next time.
Oh. Are you healthy?
No, we'll see. But
are you picking up something? Is that what's going on?
There is. There's like, you have a lot of energy. Also, you might be the lights. It might be the lights. Alan Thicke was actually so interesting because I followed up with his wife, Tanya, after he passed. And initially, right. I actually got to meet with them both.
Right.
And then he died. And then she came on the show again.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was so interesting because the morning I woke up, I kept getting all of the symbology of sunny side eggs. And I had a vision of the sun rising. And I was like, what is this? There's something about the sun coming up or something. And so I go and I see Tanya and I tell her, I say, you know, this is all I've gotten from Alan since he's passed. Does this mean anything? And she just gasped because when he died, she had expressed, Alan, now that you're gone, the sun will never come out for me again. She had said that. She had expressed that right after he died. And so that morning when I woke up seeing sunrises and sunny side eggs, I knew that that symbology was his way of trying to tell me the sun will come out for you again. There will be hope. And the fact that she had just said that right after he had passed, for her was something that she knew there's no way I could have known. Sitting with a grieving person saying, I'm seeing eggs.
Yeah.
Probably isn't going to land. Wow. Unless it does. And in that moment, it symbolized something a lot greater.
I was, as you were saying that story, I was thinking of the song from Annie.
Tomorrow.
The sun will come up.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it did.
Which if you want to sing it as a group right now.
Is it copywritten? It's like happy birthday.
I
like
think if we for, sing it,
if we,
it's fine.
Can we sing?
You can sing it.
The sun will come out tomorrow.
We'll see.
Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow.
I mean, maybe. A psychic, we'll see.
We have a lot of people don't put music into their podcasts, and I like to add a lot of production value.
And you don't want to get ding, so we don't actually put, as long as we sing it.
Ding is okay. Not getting paid.
Yeah. Oh.
Do you do a podcast?
You know, I don't. That would be quite interesting, though, wouldn't it? I like to come on cool people like you, like your podcast.
No, but I'm just saying it's another way to connect. You should
absolutely.
Do it.
Yeah, something about radio. I know other mediums have really preferred radio as a means to be able to do readings.
But this could be radio too. You know, you can listen to this and you could see this. And I would listen and watch you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you? I noticed. Were you doing readings on Instagram when I saw you?
You know, I don't.
Were you doing a live? You were doing a live.
I do lives. Yes.
Yeah. So on Instagram.
Yeah, and it's just a great way to get to connect and also kind of help talk to people about the collective, kind of get an understanding of what it means to interact. I think, you know, it's one thing when people see the TV show, like anything, and to give people kind of the behind the scenes access to be able to kind of ask questions that people normally don't feel comfortable asking is really special. I love to be able to discuss.
Hang on. I think your manager wants to say something.
Oh yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the collective is kind of like your podcast.
Yeah.
You're just able to connect with people in a different way.
That is true. Yeah, absolutely. No, for sure. I think the collective is in its own way kind of like an interactive podcast.
That was the voice of 15%. So. I heard the voice.
It was 20.
Oh, really?
He's here. That's why he's
20%, whatever. Just I just heard that. But the thing is that what I would do, I'm not giving you ideas right now, but it doesn't preclude you from being, you join the collective, you download the collective. Yep. You do that, and then sitting here, just like I have screens in front of me now, that's how you, from the people, those are the people you read, not the people calling in, not the people standing in the room, the people, you're picking it up from the collective, and then it's just piggybacking on another platform.
Totally.
I want to produce your podcast.
He's trying to do business. He's invited you today to try to pitch an idea.
I love that idea. No, truly, because
I'm not talking to you. 20%. Where are you?
It's
20%. Where are you? Come here.
No.
On the mic. There.
On the mic.
On the mic. There, because I don't have a place for you to sit. Don't you think that's a good idea?
I love
that. It's brilliant.
Yes,
it is.
To be honest, working with Tyler, we have to worry about his bandwidth. Because the readings, you see, there's something coming through right now. He's
that
sweating.
There is a reason. I'm getting, you know, so, it's making me nervous that he's sweating that much.
It makes me nervous when he's not sweating. Is this gone?
Did it go away? Right?
But
can you imagine?
But he, seriously, there's, you know, he's got two shows this weekend. And, you know, there's not much he can do this week but just rest and get ready for them. So he's doing the collective. He's doing the shows. There's TV shows that come up.
But when he's...
have a lot of demands on his time. So...
Wait, does it take a lot out of you to do the readings? Does it take like a...
You know, it is. It's very physical. It is. But it's like anything, right? You go and you want to...
But he would be doing... You're asking people to download the app anyway.
Yeah.
The app is a source material.
You're such a salesman.
No, I'm not. Why not do... It's no more bandwidth. The point is, whatever you're going to do on the collective, do it with cameras in front of you.
Bam.
That's all I'm saying.
Well, the collective is a camera. Like, it's a live show that we actually have a recording of, and he does... hour and 45 minute to 2 hour readings once a week.
But the only people seeing it are on the collective. Right, what I'm saying is
we can release that as a podcast, like separately.
Okay,
but
that's stupid.
No,
I don't know.
I think it's stupid to be doing it as a podcast that I'm producing. I think you're
I'm dropping you, Larry. I'm pairing 20% to Howie.
He gets 30.
I'm just 30. Saying.
Okay.
Now,
my dad's very bossy.
I get
too.
Negative
like,
20.
You're not going to hear the end of
here's
this.
Here's what I'm, and this is what I'm thinking. It is, I'm getting like nervous because you're sweating so much because I'm feeling like that is a sign. Is it a sign? Be honest with me.
I mean, there's always residual stuff that's like around for sure.
Are you getting something that you're trying to hold back?
No. No. I would say that. I would let you know. I would just point and be like, Grandma. No.
But I mean, it's also funny because we do podcasts every week, every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcast. And very rarely there's anybody here. And, you know, my friends and family know who's coming on.
Very cool.
And friends and family showed up this time.
Ooh,
and,
we'll all see Tyler Perry.
I love
well,
it.
Well, I think
in the flesh.
As much as they're fans, I think that people are standing
they're
back
like
there going, are you getting anybody? You know?
Don't worry, I'll let you know if anything pops in.
They'll let you know.
Absolutely.
Yes, everybody back there that is in the room has a lot of dead friends. Well, I'm just saying.
Well,
I'm just
everyone knows someone at least that has passed.
So we're all alike in that respect. Yeah. We all know a lot of dead people. We just don't know their numbers and how to contact them. And you are like a great collective place to find all these.
You're like the collect call.
You know, we try. But I think when it comes to grief, you know, it's universal. You're either experiencing it or you're going to experience. We are going to grieve or we are going to be grieved. And so I think we really need more outlets to be able to discuss mortality in a way that's open and transparent. It's something that people don't like to talk about. It's something that kind of only gets reserved for, you know, funerals. And
you know what's fascinating to
there's me? There's also a lot of stigma. I see like the connection between mental health, like you talk about, and what you do too. Like if, and I see it in the comments. Every time we have someone on, like, and there's a believer, then I see people attacking the believer. Like there's such a stigma to what you do, or even people that believe in what you do.
Yes. And it's frustrating because the people I help, you know, I am there to help. Mm-hmm. And to see the people I help get attacked for the work that I'm doing, that really hurts. So I try to really protect the people.
Gotten dangerous for you? I would imagine, because people are crazy right now.
There are some
And places. I don't want you to ignite something or trigger somebody. But what I'm saying is, if you were my kid, I would be concerned.
Well, with what I do being ideological in a world that's increasingly divisive, I think that's a natural concern. If anything, you deal more with, like, at least live shows, like people being very enthusiastic to get a reading, and then they'll come up to the mic, and then you'll have like people fighting to try to like get a message. And they're like, this reading's for me. And the other people be like, no, this reading's for me. I went to Florida and it just like turned into people beating each other up.
Brawl.
So yeah, it's more, more we just try to keep the audience settled.
It's my turn, and they shoot the guy who's trying to take the mic. And then you read
and bring it
the dead guy. It was his, he's saying it was his turn. That's what I'm getting.
Terrible.
He's saying it was his turn.
We're going to put you up on the show and have you do warm-up comedy.
Do you have a warm-up act? Is there an act?
No, I need
How long do you do?
I could get a golden retriever maybe to start clapping. It's usually about an hour and 30, so 90 minutes. I'm bad at math. Yeah.
You're bad at math. You can talk to the dead.
Well, hey, you can't get it all in one lifetime.
Are tickets expensive?
I think like $25 starting generally, and then they can go up into the more expensive ones, but it just depends on where you sit.
Like so T-Swift. That's
that guy that came to the... Oh, here he is again. 20%.
20% is coming.
20%.
Yeah, it's an hour and 40 to an hour and 50 minutes.
You know nothing.
Let him talk. He's pitching.
$25 is a good price, but I think they usually start at about 50.
Okay. All right. $25 would be a good price if it were accurate.
Yeah.
Not for us, though.
They're usually about 50. And how do you know that? Because 10 of that is yours.
Percentage.
I love that.
One of the things
you hear voices from the other side, and it's your agent.
And they don't know math. The other side, they do nothing about math.
Yes.
The cool thing is no matter where you sit at a live show, it's equal opportunity. So I don't want to like piss off the people in the front row, right? But like the bottom line is most people get right in the very back. The people I can't even see sometimes. There's times where the lighting situations are so bad, I'm just working completely blind and just relaying what's coming through to somebody in the nose.
What is the most embarrassing place that, like, I would imagine, like, if you go to a public restroom and you're in a stall and a guy sits down in the next...
Excuse me, I have someone coming through.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. I was in a dispensary once when I first got my first show. And I walked in and everyone was like, oh, hey, man, how you doing? Can we get a group photo to promote the dispensary? I was like, sure. I don't know how 20% is going to feel about this over here. But we're, I took the picture and, you know, weed is fine, of course. But
it is.
Yeah, you never know. You know, going into it, you get put in these kind of unique positions where you're like, how is this going to register to people?
You're not Disney, buddy.
See, that's what I think.
That was a little goofy right there.
I am.
But what I'm saying is you're an adult, and that's not illegal, at least in our state.
Yeah, exactly.
And are you concerned about, it seems to me that you this subject matter crosses many lines. It really does. You know, whether it's just the believability, whether it's religion, whether it's, you know, people feel like you're a charlatan and and I don't think you are. I'm saying that what people, and you were saying it, when we read, and we're going to read, but we watch the fights break out. Like, I'll have just a friend on or somebody who has an opinion, and it never takes on the same kind of fervor, that word a lot, that this subject matter does.
Absolutely.
I'm so interested in
it. It's the ambiguity of it, my friend. That's what it is. People hate ambiguity. They hate things that they cannot put in a black and white category. And what I do
you know what they
is
hate
very mysterious.
More than that? I can't. I'm trying to describe what it is that they hate more than that.
Ambiguity?
What is that thing that... How do you describe that thing they hate? I'm not able to. No, I can't.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out.
I think people can't pinpoint a clear understanding of what someone's all about or what they're doing, and so they just jump to assumptions. And
but isn't it amazing? We all die.
We do.
Everybody dies.
Every single one.
And but we're all, it, there's such a, as she pointed out, there's such a stigma, there's such fear, there's such when are we going to get used to it?
I don't know. Religion hasn't helped. I think people are really traumatized by a lot of religious trauma, and so that translates to a lot of spiritual frustration that people have. People view it as, oh, you're saying that life continues beyond death? Well, that's no different than my trauma with Catholicism or my trauma with Judaism or whatever it may be. And so people kind of equate religion and spirituality as a single thing, whereas I, you know, kind of think there's discernment to be made between the two.
It's also whatever the belief is in the finite, whereas I think all of us, just because we're humans, have like a lot of unfinished business. Yes. Right, there's one more thing you need to say, there's one more thing you didn't say. Yeah. there's you know, unresolved issues.
Sure.
And that's really hard to deal with, knowing that at least in most people's mind there is no way to communicate that. So that's why they look to you. You sure. are that life preserver of eternity that allows us to kind of come to terms with what we haven't done, what we need to do, and what makes us feel better.
Yeah. I just try to bring forward meaningful, subjectively meaningful experiences to people.
Is there ever a time when law enforcement has come to you for cases?
There was a case actually on my Netflix show where I worked with a private investigator, and there were two cases on that one, and she had two file folders, and she didn't show me what was in them, and I kind of ran my hand over them and correctly identified what was in actually one of the folders. And so that was a good sign for me. That was an intuitive hit. And then kind of proceeded to look into it more. But the person that we picked actually ended up still being alive. So it was a missing person who was still with us. And that presented actually some challenges, because I, as a medium, you know, generally communicate with people who've passed. So there
are. But the people who have passed have a perspective on what's happening and here, and they give that, you that.
Yes.
So did they find that person?
They actually ended up determining what likely happened to the individual. And there were cases, actually almost all the ones I've worked on have been living people, ironically. So maybe in time.
Do we have questions from listeners or viewers or watchers or his agent?
Yeah, I think we got a couple people on. Cool.
You want to take some
questions?
Okay,
absolutely.
All right.
Let's Zoom?
Yeah, we're going to Zoom somebody in.
Awesome.
And you will talk. These are, I don't know who they are, and they haven't been, I haven't been briefed, but we put a notice out on social media the other day and said you were going to be here, so
you
let's
did?
See. What?
You did?
Yeah, yesterday.
I don't tell you things. Well, you saw it, right?
I saw it, yes.
He saw it. She doesn't look at it.
I don't look at it.
Oh, go to HowieMandel.com. I'll go to, go ahead.
Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Good to go.
Here we go.
I have stuff too.
What?
I have a question too. But maybe we'll get to it later.
No, we could get to your question while we're waiting for this person.
No, we don't have to,
It's taking some time to get to this person.
I don't even think that you'll like my question.
I won't like it?
No.
He won't.
No, you won't. I don't think you'll be into it. Most of the stuff I plan, you're not into and you don't like.
Well, so. I really am not thrilled with you.
I know. We're not getting along right now. Is that what you're picking up on?
You know what? That's not why I'm sweating. We got this going on.
Oh, here we go. There's a, you can look at her right
awesome.
There.
Awesome. Hi.
Oh, we can't hear her.
We don't hear her.
Oh, darn.
All right.
Maybe I could read her mind.
There you are. Talk now.
Hi.
Who are you?
I'm Audrey Rose.
Hi, Audrey. Hi.
Wait, are you Audrey Rose?
Yes, that's my full first name.
Audrey See? Rose. You got it. I love it. Amazing.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Do you have a question for Tyler?
Yes. So I was wondering, have you had any bad, scary experiences with evil entities? Like, what's your spookiest experience?
Oh, you know, it's a great question. Thankfully, the nature of my work is a little different than our friend here who had the person appearing at the hotel and all that.
Yeah.
Right.
With the nature of what I do, being that I work off of the premise that I think that most of the people I'm connecting with have gone through a process of a life review, of obtaining some sense of clarity and understanding. I generally bring through people who come through with a lot of hindsight and awareness, and they seem to almost be better versions of themselves. That said, there were moments earlier on in my teenage years where I had a very frightening experience. Our home actually started getting a bunch of paranormal activity. I attribute it to being a very hormonal teenager and perhaps some poltergeist stuff that was going on. But there was one instance where I was laying in bed and I had
Parahormonal.
That was good. I was laying in bed one day and I heard my mom come into the room and my head was into the pillow and I was kind of faking being asleep. And she came in and I started feeling this hand run through my hair. And I thought, oh, my mom's giving me a scalp massage. This is great. She thinks I'm asleep. We're going to, you know, take this for all it's worth. And so I feel the hand running through my head, and then it just suddenly started getting a little tight. And I started feeling my nose kind of get pushed into the pillow. And then when I went to go lift my head out of surprise, I got fully pushed into the pillow, like completely pushed. I couldn't breathe. I was squirming around, trying to scream. My mom runs down the hall into my room. I look up, and she wasn't the one touching my head. She wasn't the one who pushed my head into the pillow. Something
tried to kill you.
Tried to hurt me at the very least. And that is the only time that I've ever had something that was frightening. But I can attribute that to a lot of what was going on. There was a lot of negativity at the time. Hormones were raging. There was a lot of conflict. And it just didn't make for a very good spiritual environment.
She's hormonal, I know, and a bitch. But
you know,
watch out.
Poltergeists happen among teenagers, teenagehood. That's very often when you see activity happen.
When I was a teenager and going through hormonal changes and puberty, I remember something in my room that happened with a hand too, but it's...
I heard the laugh.
You know, some of us get spiritual dreams, some of us get hormonal dreams.
Like yours, it wasn't my mother.
It wasn't your mother.
Yes.
Oh, no. There's therapy. We could talk after.
All right. Well, thank you for your call and thank you for your question. Yes. Do we have another one? Do we have another question? What?
No.
Do you have a question?
Oh, let me think. What do I want to know about myself?
Do you want to know anything about me?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever had a visitation from someone who's passed?
I did.
Yeah, like without a medium.
I did. Wow. And the truth of the matter is that I didn't. I was in total denial, and it is my father. And now that I believe in it, you said at the beginning of this, you said there are people that... believe in coincidence? What was the...
I mean, there's two types of people. The people who see the value in meaningful coincidences when they happen, and then you have people who don't.
So I've had a couple of very meaningful coincidences, mm-hmm. which were only chalked up to shit happens.
I see.
You know? And then when I definitely became a believer...
Yeah.
I looked back on these things and I went, oh, this has more value than just the word coincidence. And I feel that that was a message and that was communication. And again, you as a non-believer, and you know who you are, will say it was just a coincidence.
Sure.
And I'm just making myself feel better to say that it was something else. But it is just so strange and so... I'm not going to bore you with mine, but you should believe. I mean, I'm not telling anybody what to do. Do we have another person on? Patrice is on. Is that Patrice? Patrice is coming up. Patrice Ford is one of our...
just audio.
It's just audio?
Mm-hmm. Just audio. We got.
Okay, Patrice doesn't want...
No.
Oh, no, there's Patrice. Oh,
hi, Patrice.
Hi, Patrice.
Hey. How y'all doing?
I don't know how all of us are doing, but some of us are fine.
We're in good spirits, Patrice.
I see what you did there.
I'm stoked to be here. Thank y'all so much. Oh, I just don't know.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd love to hear your question.
Look at you, you copycat.
I know.
I'm just referring to the
HP.
That's
not a copier. That's a printer.
Is that a copier or a printer behind you?
I think it does both, maybe.
It's a printer.
Can't you do copies on
a
printer?
It's a printer. No, can we? I'm at work, and it's the little cheap version.
So. Oh, do they know that you're calling into a podcast?
They know that I have a meeting.
With Tyler Henry and Howie Mandel.
They don't.
Don't disturb her. She's in a meeting.
That's right, everybody. Go ahead.
What kind of business is this?
It's a nonprofit.
Because you're always in a meeting. If you would take some time and do some work, there might be some profit. And if there was some profit, I have an agent that's willing to take 20%.
There you go.
There I go. Go ahead. Do you have something to ask Tyler?
Yes.
Okay, I do. Yeah. So this has been going on for a while. And I haven't said anything to anybody because I didn't want anybody to think that I was schizophrenic or anything.
Gotcha.
But I hear voices.
Oh, wow.
I hear someone calling my name to the point that I wake up.
Wow.
Like, yes. And it's not like a Patrice, it's like Patrice.
Right.
And sometimes I hear knocking.
Yeah.
To the point that I've gotten jumped out of the bed and yeah. opened the door.
Sure.
And it's gone. It's happened frequently enough that I don't know.
Yeah. All right. I love that you asked that question, Patrice, because there's something called hypnagogia. It's a big word, but it actually refers to the state between wakefulness and sleep. And it's that state that we get in when we find ourselves kind of lapsing into a dream. And that state is rife with spiritual opportunities. Some of the greatest thinkers, artists, geniuses use that time to kind of open up their minds, connect to a more unconscious state, and oftentimes bring forward creative inspiration. I remember there was even an instance, I think it was Salvador Dali, who used to hold onto a spoon, and as he would fall asleep, he would hold it in his hand and the spoon would drop. And the goal with that was that when the spoon fell, that it would wake him up and he would be able to think and immediately recollect that information in hypnagogia. So many people will hear information in that in-between state. As long as it doesn't frighten you, I think that it can actually be an indicator that there's someone there, some form of a connection, some, you know, perhaps love that is watching over you. And I think how we frame it can be very important.
It isn't scary.
Good.
It's just weird.
Yes.
It's not always a female voice. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's a male voice.
Yeah.
I think the knocking maybe scared me more
sure.
because I get online and I look at things and they'd say, if you ever hear knocking, never let them in because you don't know who it is.
Generally good advice if you don't know. But yeah, I would just say, you know, prayer is very valuable. Intention for me is the root of all spirituality, just on a basic level. And if you ever feel uncomfortable, you know, assert yourself. Express yourself. This is my home. This is my house. I welcome people who, you know, love me and I love everybody else. You know, you can hit the road. And just setting those boundaries and doing it with confidence is really important. So thank you for your question, Patrice.
Patrice?
Thank you so much. Yes.
That was me. Just testing.
It was a disembodied voice.
Like,
okay.
Yes.
It's Howie.
Yes.
It's Howie Sleep. Well, thank you, Patrice. Okay, I'm going to let you ask your final question.
We had one more, too, if we wanted.
Okay.
Yeah. Want one more? Okay, go ahead.
Is that different than sleep paralysis?
It can be, yeah. Sleep paralysis is totally a medical thing, for sure, but yeah. You often are in hypnagogia when you're experiencing sleep paralysis.
Got it.
Yeah.
You had a question.
No, mine was more, I'm like one of those like TikTok scrollers
yeah.
and I am so into all like the hauntings on okay. TikTok, and I have some videos of like stuff that's haunted, and I wanted to know if you watched it, if you could tell if it was real or fake.
Oh, that's actually a really good question.
You want to do that? Did
I
you give
know.
It to?
Sometimes holding onto objects will kind of be my way of connecting more.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting about haunted objects, and even a conversation we had within the show, is we'd have people bring stuff like
yeah.
a dad's, you know, watch or glasses or whatever. And we'd have people come, and objects definitely seem to kind of have energy. But the question is it more of a reminder of the person, or does it inherently hold the essence of the individual?
I'm going to send the videos to you. If
Please
we want to play, if we want to play a couple of the videos, we can,
yeah.
but later.
I would love that.
Later.
Or,
we're almost
finished. there's another question.
Let
so while
talking.
She's answering,
okay.
asking
ask a question.
Yes.
Who are you?
Hi, I'm Madison.
Hi, Madison. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. I would love to know your question.
The question is, what's your question?
I love it.
Sorry.
It's all
okay.
So I have my dad's mother, my grandmother, passed away before I was born. And a lot of people say that, like, I have a similar personality to her and that she, like, watches over me.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to know maybe if she had any messages or anything.
Aww. You know what I want to do? I want to give you a full collective membership, and I would love to be able to talk to you here in the coming month.
Ooh.
And we could kind of keep the conversation going. But what I find so cool about that is that, you know, even when we don't meet certain relatives, there's something about generations spanning through time. It's so fascinating how we can kind of carry their essence into a world that will never get the chance to physically meet them. And whether someone has, you know, grandma's eyes or grandma's smile or a temperament, there's something so beautiful about being able to kind of continue that legacy through our actions and what we do. So I would love if you reach out to us over on my Instagram. Might be the best way.
So you gave her a collective membership
for a whole year for free.
For free.
There you go.
Can we speak to your agent? You just made 20% of nothing.
Nothing. Sorry,
Larry. Nothing. Nothing.
He's pissed. Yeah, look, he's like, you're done.
You're done.
The interview is done.
But thank you for your question.
Thank you for your time.
I really appreciate it.
Do you want to look at the one TikTok or whatever?
There are two.
There's
two TikToks, but we don't have kinda, to. If you're not into it, we can be done.
We'll look at one and then we can.
I love it.
Is it going to take some time to put it up?
I sent him both. There's one that's super popular on TikTok. It's the guy that has like nonstop knocking.
You've seen that one? Yes, he has.
Okay, so we'll put that up after and post.
Then there's another one that's not super popular with a balloon that keeps following him through
Yes.
You know that one too?
My aunt weirdly had an experience where a balloon followed her through her whole house.
Yeah.
And she was like screaming. I was like,
The movie It
just kept following him.
So what do you think of those things?
I mean, unless there was a draft, I feel like that's kind of strange.
The balloon seems real to me. Everyone thinks the knocking is fake, that he's somehow doing it because it's like...
You saw that one. What do you think? Do you believe in it?
I'm hard to say, but I think it's certainly possible. I've seen clients who have had those things happen, absolutely, and things...
He's not here to... discern.
It was interesting.
I'm just interested because I'm so into those videos, and I don't know if that's the kind of thing that you could discern whether it's real or fake. But
I did a reading for a lady who lost her son, and it was the weirdest thing. The only thing I was really getting was a green balloon, and I was like, green balloon, what is this? And the weirdest thing was she actually had seen a green balloon outside of her garage like the day before, caught up in a tree. And she was going through this whole grief process, figuring out her son's funerary arrangements and all of this stuff. And the fact that I was just like, green balloon. She was just like, what the? Like, yes, I saw a green balloon, and that's coincidental. We've all probably seen a green balloon at some point in our life. But the fact that she saw it as she's planning her son's funeral, that for me is kind of the essence of what substantiates a message. You have people could say, oh, it's just a coincidence. I say, look at the timing of when these things are said. It's uncanny, and it can evoke a really meaningful sense of significance.
So we look forward to you seeing you live. You're going to do a lot of, do you do a lot of dates?
I do. Oh, 32 as of right now, but we're going to be adding more.
And we'll have, you'll click in this.
Wait, 20%.
There you go. We're on it. Well, he's got shows this weekend in a couple of days.
It's not going to, this won't air until.
He's got Peacock Theater in LA coming up April 12th. And then Palm Springs.
We'll
put
all the dates. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put all the dates on this. So when people are listening and watching, they can click on and we'll put his
date. I'm going to shut up. Yeah.
No, you don't have to shut up.
It'll just be easier.
I just wanted to remind him.
And how often do you go on the collective and do that?
That's every week. We do private reading giveaways once a week. And then we also do two virtual group readings a month. So.
And is there anything else to promote? Now he's not here.
Look at that. He
is there anything else?
No,
that
20%
you
for you.
There's nothing to promote at all. We're just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell.
And on that note,
Henri.
Thank you so much. Subscribe, comment. We have a scratch and sniff subscribe button now. If you subscribe, your finger stinks for a week.
That sounds dangerous.
Yes.
You have to watch these videos, Dad. I want to show you.
I want to watch them. Yeah. We're going to put them in.